Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, we got something new to watch.
This is
cool.
The movie is called The Opening Act. Yeah. Stars Bill Burr, Ken Young, Whitney Cummings, Jimmy Yang is the opening act, and written and directed by this guy, Steve Byrne, joining us.
Steve, thanks for coming to the program. Appreciate it, man.
Welcome.
Good morning, Todd, Tyler. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We probably got a lot of mutual friends because we know a lot of comedians, but how'd you round up this group of great people, great stand-ups, too, and actors?
Craigslist.
Okay.
Craigslist. They went directly through Craigslist. Yeah,
and they all said yes.
Misconnection.
Yeah.
I saw you in a club one day. I know what you look like, Mr. Okay, I got it.
No, that's right.
Were you friends with Bill Burr and Whitney Cummings in the comedy scene? Obviously.
Yeah, it helps. You know, Bill and I kind of started in New York City together.
Got
so
it.
He was a sophomore. I was a freshman. But, you know, it was fun because, like, when I'm like, oh, I need a skanky looking, hey, Tom Segura, could you come down to set for a day?
Oh, you know, when we talk to Segura, we're going to play that clip. I love that. we are going to play that clip and say, this is your life.
That's right, yeah. He's such a great dude, and I'm so happy for his success lately. Jeez, he's blowing it out.
He is blowing it out. Now, Jimmy Yang plays the opening act in the movie. Now, is this about wrapped around what happened to you, or is this about any kind of comedian?
Is it autobiographical?
Yeah, semi-autobiographical. Once Jimmy's character hits the road, everything that happened in the film has happened to me in real life. So you're going to sit there and go, did this really happen? It's like, yes. I really did end up in the woods in North Carolina, scared out of my line, scared for my life for fear of being shot, underneath a trailer while a couple above me was having sex. Yes, that actually did, truly did happen to me.
This is my favorite because, like I said, we've been doing this a long time, and I pride ourselves. If you ask around some of the people that we know and you know, we actually get good grades about this. But drunk comedy groupies and hard-to-impress morning radio DJs. And I do that, but I hate those guys because we allow comedians on the show just to hang out and not do their act and just have fun. So hopefully you're in the studio with us sometime soon when COVID's over and
right.
You can do that with us.
Because we're easy to impress.
Yeah, we are easy to impress.
Oh, well, that's why I'm here, baby. You set the bar low, and I'll exceed those expectations. But, yeah, it's based on, you know, look, the whole film is about a comic's first time ever working the road on a professional comedy club. So you're dealing with all those hurdles. And of course he's failing because all those things are different muscles, from heckling and improvising to morning radio. You got to know how to do it. And it was called off the first time. It was the second time I ever did morning radio on KLOS in Los Angeles. Now I'm friends with them now, so I can talk about this, but I was so inexperienced. I went on the air. I start bombing immediately, and I start doing that New York City Comedy Cellar stuff where I'm kind of taking shots at them, and they're like, who is this guy? They call security in. Security escorts me out of the building, and I'm representing this tour that, like, Billy Gardell and Bert Kreischer are on, and they escort me out of the building. At the time, Sebastian Maniscalco lived a block away. I walk over. I knock on his door. He goes, what's wrong? I go, let me in. Turn on your radio. We turn on the radio. We now listen to them eviscerate me, destroy me for 10 to 12 minutes on air. I just moved to Los Angeles. I'm thinking, I'm never working in this town. Everybody's hearing this. Sebastian's staring at me. He puts his coffee down when they cut to break. He goes, what the hell did you do, guy?
You know what? I'll tell you what. You mentioned Gardell and Kreischer. We've known Bert for a long time. They're both good friends of the show. We had that happen. You probably, in the years you've been around, you remember jeez, help me.
Ralphie May. Ralphie May. We both happen to have long hair, and he went into a mullet bit right away.
And this was years ago.
And it started a long time feud.
We eviscerated Ralphie for about a year, and then he found out through the grapevine, through some friends of ours, mutual friends, that what we were doing, and he called back, and he did the exact same thing you did. Was that Frank and Heidi? Is that what you did to those guys back in? Who'd you do? Okay. So you did it to them. So I can imagine they're saying, oh, why are you yelling at us? And then they ripped you. We did the same thing with Ralphie. He felt bad, sent us whiskey. And before he passed away, we became really great friends.
Did you make up? Have you made up since?
Did you make?
Oh, yeah. They've had me on since. I'm actually going on air today. And Ralphie May, God bless his soul, one of my favorites. He was my favorite black sassy black woman comedian.
He was.
He was my favorite black woman comedian.
Perfect description.
First,
I always told Ralphie, I say, when you take a selfie, it's a group photo.
Now, I watched the trailer. Did you eat it on stage as much as Jimmy Yang's character did? Was it
tough? Oh, God, yeah,
start?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to expose people to, look, this kid, Jimmy, he gets his teeth kicked in for, 80 minutes in this film.
Right.
And I wanted to show people how synonymous and how symbiotic failure is with stand-up comedy, especially at the beginning, because you just are so inexperienced, and it's live. It's happening in real time. You just don't have the tools, and eventually you develop those tools over time, and that's what the character learns. And look, if there's one thing Hollywood could depend on, it's Steve Byrne knows failure. So I'm the man for this job. I told my wife when we were editing the film after production, I bought myself a really nice tailored suit, and I bought my wife a really beautiful dress, and I told her, honey, we're going to wear this when the film premieres. And the other day, I pulled her dress out in my tuxedo. I said, honey, we're going to wear this Friday in the living room, and I'll pop the popcorn on the microwave.
Did you think about holding it back and waiting till the virus is over? Because it's obviously not over anytime soon. Or did you figure, I want people to see this now,
Yeah, I think, look, there's been so few comedies that have come out during this quarantine, and people miss comedy clubs, too, and we did think about holding off on it. We were going to premiere just for Last Festival, and that kept getting pushed back, and we just thought, let's just release it now and see what happens.
Well, the King of Staten Island did really well on streaming because everybody wants to see new stuff, and I think, obviously, this is not about that, but, similar thing, a comedy movie.
How long ago did you shoot this?
We shot it in 2012, I believe, and we've been holding. No, we shot it in late 2018.
Okay.
Edited in 2019, and then of course, 2020, the crap hits the fan.
Are you on the road now? Or are you staying safe and not going out? What are you doing? A little bit of both.
I was on the road. Yeah, quite a bit. I'd done all the hot spots basically. So,
did you get out?
Basically,
without the disease.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You didn't catch COVID at all.
No, and I'm Asian, so I didn't get anything.
Did you get funny looks?
I've been getting that for years, but not during COVID. No, I never told anybody. Hey, I just got a haircut at a Wuhan wet market. No, I was. No, it's been good. It's been okay. I think for example, like you can go see comedy or you can even see this film in theaters, but you would have to get on a plane and I guess fly to a red state. I guess that's where things are open these days.
Why didn't you play yourself in this movie?
Well, I'm almost 50. I'm 46 years old. I just didn't want to. I wanted to make a film about a 20-year-old driving to Vegas for the first time, not a 50-year-old driving home from Vegas,
Yeah, that makes sense. I get that. Where can we see this? On demand, right? And it is in select theaters?
It is in select theaters. I told my mom's like, where can I see this? I go, Mom, it's streaming. She goes, enough about R. Kelly. Sorry, guys, I had to. You see it on demand, Amazon, iTunes, all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, your mom dropped an R. Kelly joke. She must be cool.
She's hip, guys. I don't want to ask my mom and dad what they do on their anniversary after that.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. Apple, iTunes, Amazon, etc., all that stuff. At the opening act, featuring Jimmy Yang, who's just really, really funny dude, man. He's so good.
And yeah, they're all great.
Yeah,
all those comics, and it's funny from Bill Burr, Neil Brennan, Sigourney, like. I had the same conversation verbatim after the cast saw this film because we sent them screeners,
right.
And they all told me the same three things. I loved it. It's so realistic, and you re-triggered all these horrible memories from the beginning of my career. I cannot wait to see my therapist next week, you bastard. So I wear that as a badge of honor.
All right. All right. Well, hopefully we see you soon in the studio someday. And if you, when you're back out and about, when
I see you have some gigs booked in 2021. So yeah. You're being positive.
Yeah, the only thing sadder than our state of affairs is my 2020 calendar. So it will be good to be back. But it's been 7 months. I mean, we've lasted an entire Grateful Dead song in quarantine. So it's getting kind of crazy.
This is kind of a stock question we ask our comedian friends. But where were you in mid-March? That's probably the last time you were on stage, wasn't it?
Well, the last time I was on stage, I worked, and I remember I was leaving for the gig, and my daughter's 8 years old. She's finally at the age now where she realizes emotionally that daddy's leaving, and she was hysterical. Dad, don't leave. Why do you have to keep leaving? I'm like, honey, it's my job. And I was leaving, pulling out of the driveway. I see her in the bay window. She's waving. She's crying. And I'm just thinking, I just want to go home. So I get home that week. And then all of a sudden, quarantine hits, right? The pandemic hits.
Right.
And then I'm just like in heaven. I'm spending all this time with my family. My daughter's happy. And 6 months in, I'm like, what water fountain did you chuck a quarter into and ruin the global economy and recession and racial tensions because you wanted your daddy home? So it's all my daughter's fault, guys. I'm telling you, I'm going to drain that fountain wherever it is.
Right. Well, we've been looking for a scapegoat. Now we got
That's
one.
Right.
Steve Byrne, the opening act, premiering...
Tonight,
that's right. Yeah. I keep forgetting it's Friday myself.
Apple, iTunes, Amazon, On Demand, in select theaters.
We will watch. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve. Good luck, man.
Todd, Tyler, thank you so much for having me. I heard so many great things about you, by the way, from some mutual friends. So I really appreciate you guys taking the time and having me on. Best to you guys and your families. Take
All
care,
right,
guys.
You too,
thanks,
man. Steve.
Thanks a lot, man.
Bye now.
Bye.
Right.
You probably had more questions even for him, Nick. You'll watch this movie, won't you? It's about
stand-up
comedy.
Watched the preview. It looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does hit a little close to home. We're like, oh, he's eating it.
I wonder if there's a scene in the movie where the radio guys are sitting in the back laughing harder because he's eating it.
Yeah,
because that would be us.
No, we only do that if we know the person.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we know that person is funny.
If I know that they're, I don't like to see people eating it that I don't know. I feel bad for those guys.
But the Ganance of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always.
Because we know he's capable of funny.
That's always entertaining when
if you
eats
don't
it.
Know the person and they're just eating it on stage, it's just uncomfortable for everyone.
Well, what I've never understood, and Nick does this for a living. I mean, partial living, but we don't do stand up, obviously. But I've seen Nick do bits that kill, and the same bit. I've told the comedians about this. How do you get past? I'll ask Nick. You do a bit, and the crowd loved it. You do the same bit a week, 2 weeks later, the next night, whatever, the next show, it doesn't kill as much.
Yeah.
There's just a vibe in a room that sometimes people don't get it, and some people do. How do you get past that?
Well, it depends. Like, I record all my sets, so I would listen to it and see. A lot of times, sometimes it's what you did would be leading up to that.
Got
and
it.
Like, oh, maybe the timing wasn't the best of the set, or you said too many words, or you already, like, you made yourself too much of an asshole in the beginning of the set, and now you're trying to be sympathetic. And that, there could be 1,000 things that go wrong.
I was going to say, it's one of those 1,000 things. Say you're on stage, and something distracting happens, or one table decides to mill around or talk at one point when the joke would have killed, and that just takes a wave over the rest of the crowd.
Right, the chemistry
in
the
that
crowd
could throw
is
it
disruptive.
Yeah.
Because I think that would drive me the most crazy about being a stand-up, is knowing you have a killer bit, and it works 70% of the time, because 30%, and you have no reason why, except for those little...
Yeah,
those
and little there's sometimes factors. Stuff will just stop working.
Right.
That's
really?
The most frustrating is they're like, well, because if it doesn't work once, you're like, oh, okay, maybe that was just tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, you know, one of a dozen things that made that go wrong. But then when it consistently doesn't work, then you're like, I guess it just died.
Yeah.
It's just gone. There's nothing.
There's nothing to ring out of that thing. Okay.
Well, how long you got to do it before you realize sometimes that crowd's just lame? You don't blame yourself. You blame the crowd.
Yeah. I think that can be dicey too. Cause see, sometimes, like at the Funny Bone, there's been times where I still, one thing I want to do there someday is if I'm hosting a show and like, if I eat it, I'm like, okay, fine. You know, it happens.
Right.
But then if the feature eats it, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then if they don't like the headliner either, like before there's been nights where the crowd's just so bad for the host and the feature that before even bringing the headliner up, I just want to be like, you know what? This is it.
Yeah.
We're done. So we're not going to put the headliner through this. You guys can all come back with a different group of people, but we're not going to continue
Collie
this
would
show.
Love that.
Yeah.
You can come back free with a different group of people.
This one's done.
I am unilaterally pulling the ripcord on tonight.
Yeah.
Get out.
She would hate that.
Get out.
All right.
Yeah, but I don't know. So yeah, it's sometimes it is just
Crowd. I'm actually see that movie. Actually, I mean, I watch King of Staten Island. I'll watch this because I just like the comedy part of it, something new. And even though we're not stand-ups, we know exactly what a lot of those guys go through. We've heard those over the years. And for some reason, my eye's been distracted because booze is in the house. Nebraska Brewing Company brought some more booze up, right? Excellent.
Is that trailer on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Watch the trailer and you'll be sold.
Right. Yeah. Well,
it's tonight, right?
The cast is great.
You can stream it tonight?
Yep. Yeah, it's available today.
All right. Mr. Evans?
Looks like it's $7 to rent on iTunes.
All right. That's reasonable.
Total bitch.
No, I'll pay $7. I draw the line at 20.
You did. Except you did pay 20.
You can buy this movie for $15.
Right. No. When the King of Staten Island, by the time I got around to watching it was $6. Yeah.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We have sad news.
Yep.
We have a death to report. One of college football's most recognized live mascots.
Oh, live.
I did not recognize this.
So it's not Ugga.
Bevo Ugga.
LSU Tiger.
Ralphie the Buffalo.
North Carolina State.
Oh, they have a wolf?
They have a wolf?
Tuffy 2.
I never knew they had a live wolf.
Wouldn't they have to have multiple wolves?
They're the wolf pack.
Because they're the wolf pack?
Exactly.
They passed away. Tuffy 2 passed away Monday night. The football team and the entire athletic department is mourning the loss. Tuffy 2 is actually a dog. Tuffy 2 passed away in his sleep, according to the university statement. Tuffy 2 was a fan favorite.
It's a dog.
Seen trotting the Wolfpack Stadium throughout the games.
You don't want a wolf running around.
He's a wolf-looking dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuffy 2 served as NC State football's live mascot since 2016. Took it taking over for his brother, Tuffy One, although he was just called Tuffy.
So is this a new? This is a new strain of this Tuffy is a new mascot? Because Ugga's been around for years. So this is like an Ugga 45 or something like that. Don't they just bury him in the end zone? Two Uggas?
I think they're on 7.
Right.
Ugga 7.
Yeah, this is just Tuffy Two, diagnosed with canine dilated cardiomyopathy by the North Carolina State School of Veterinary Medicine that causes the heart to struggle to pump blood properly.
How old was Tuffy?
I don't know how old Tuffy
was. What kind of dog
was
it again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your beginning.
I didn't mention that.
Okay, good.
Tuffy is a Tamaskan.
It looks like a husky.
A breed of dog selected by North Carolina State for its wolf-like appearance.
Got it. Let's get a dog, not a wolf. A wolf could be more dangerous.
This particular heart disease that this dog had is common, especially in large breed dogs. They brought back the live mascot in 2010, the first time since 1970.
But animals are not eligible for the Deadpool.
No, they're not.
They are not.
No. Do you have this piece about the mascot they used to have, Craig?
No.
It says from 66 to 70, they had a mascot named Lobo 3 that they thought was a wolf, but it was a coyote.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
Turned out it was a coyote.
Man.
4 years, they thought it was a wolf.
Man.
And then after that, apparently they went, wow, we just don't deserve a mascot anymore.
Right,
so
right.
For 30 years, we're not going to have, or no, 40 years, we're not going to have a mascot.
Hope they did not have a school of like a veterinary science or anything on that site. That would have took down the image of that school.
Oh, it says NC State's other attempts at having a live wolf as a mascot did not end well, as wolves are notoriously skittish around crowds.
Yeah, they don't want to be around people.
And you're in a crowd, a wolf gets in the stand, starts chewing on people.
It's only like 70,000.
Yeah, whatever.
They just should have had the dance squad sport a wolf-like appearance.
They probably did in the 70s, Todd.
A pack of them.
Yeah.
I wish I could have been there after 4 years when they got the memo. It's a coyote? What? 4 years?
Yeah, there's a meme that keeps floating around the social media where, oh, I just picked up this. I think they're joking.
Yeah.
I just picked up a stray dog. Does this belong to anybody? And it's obviously a coyote.
Right. My favorite meme about that is the dude, all he wants to do is smoke a lot of weed, live in the woods, and rescue dogs. And he's standing there with a deer. Have you seen that one? It's hilarious.
No, I don't think so.
It's an old hippie-looking dude, and basically says, all I want to do is smoke a lot of weed, be left alone, and rescue stray dogs. And he's standing there in the woods, standing by a deer.
Wow.
Because you stoners don't know what you're doing. That's what that's about. That's what it's about. You stoners don't even know the difference between dogs and deer. It's a lot of weed. That's what that joke's, that's what's meant to do.
Oh, that's
I got it when I read it. Yeah. I said, oh, you mean stoners are so high, they can't tell the difference between a deer and a dog.
That's the joke.
That or a security guard and a shadow person.
Hey!
Or that.
The shadow thing was following the security guard as far as I'm concerned.
No, I was there and completely sober.
That'll teach you.
Yep.
I know. I would have preferred to not been,
yeah,
but
hear the drive.
Somebody had to get him home safe.
Right.
Might have to get us to Arby's first.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, priorities.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.